The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Faster May, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Anything you have on your mind, anything you want to bring up, by all means, get in touch. Call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Or you can WhatsApp 166 177. Big change in planning, apparently. It's all happening because David Ashford is now chair of the planning committee. We'll look at that later on. But there's Tynwald today. Support packages to help Manx residents cope with the pressure of the rising cost of living will be debated later on today. The interest rate has gone up now. Up we go. September's normally a month off for Tynwald members, but they return from their summer break early for this extraordinary sitting to consider the proposals for easing the cost of living. There'll also be an emergency question about industrial action, which is affecting the Isle of Man schools, so we'll look forward to that. And there was lots of comment in yesterday about the action by members of the NASUWT and how that affects children in this brand new academic year. Let's get to the lines now. Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Welcome back. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you, you.
I was listening to yesterday's Man in Line, and I have to say I feel that I wholeheartedly agree with Dewan about the government conference which I went to. It felt like it was more of a Q&L rather than a Q&A, with L meaning lecture. There were no follow-up questions, and there was only a small fraction of the public that raised their hands that were able to speak. It was quite frustrating to watch. And I think that word frustration is probably explaining why a lot of people are feeling frustrated these days. For example, at the conference, the audience were told, for example, there'll be 20 megawatts of wind turbines installed on the island. So if you take that at its face value, current technology means that's going to be about 10 400-foot-high turbines. But where's the democratic debate? From my perspective, where's the democratic debate on defacing our beautiful UNESCO Biosphere Nation Island?
Did they say that was onshore or offshore?
Onshore.
Oh.
And don't forget, 20 megawatts, the rule of thumb with wind turbines is you get one day in seven because of either breakage or lack of wind or too much wind. So if you say 20 megawatts, it's going to make three sevens into 20, roughly. And the hydroelectric at Sulby is 4, which is less than 1% of what we need. So bear in mind that those 10 turbines will eventually make less than 1% of what we need. And that's intermittent. That's not all the time. The other thing is the 100 plus 640-foot high turbines that are going to be placed within 9 miles, that not only going to obliterate the view of Cumbria, but no doubt will kill a lot of legally protected seabirds, because from memory, things like seagulls, you're not allowed to even touch the nests or anything at the moment. So where the legality is of putting turbines either in the sea or on the island, that's almost certainly, from research, kills lots of protected birds legally, I don't know. You've got all kinds of debate that we need. There's no democratic debate removing one of technology's greatest freedom givers, the internal combustion engine vehicle. We're just told that in 2030, due to future climate models that, from what I can see, they're not even accurate for 3 days ahead, let alone 10 years, are telling us that we no longer have the freedom of a car that you can fill up in 2 minutes. You're going to have to wait 12 hours if you're allowed. By the way, while I'm mentioning debate, there's an interesting document that's out. It's called the World Climate Declaration. That World Climate Declaration can be found at clintel.org. That's clintel.org. You can download a PDF document. There's 1,378 signatories so far, and it's increasing daily. These include Nobel Prize laureates, professors, some of them emeritus or retired with decades of experience, climatologists, astrophysicists, including a very famous astrophysicist, a lady called Valentina Zarkova from Kiev University, who's regarded as the world's foremost authority on the sun's influence on world's weather. But, you know, whether it's the climate debate, or its vaccines, or its wind turbines on the island, or swimming pool reviews, or even why the horse tram funding got redeployed, there doesn't seem to be any democratic debate going on with any of the issues that seem to be of importance. I'm just wondering, are we actually living in a democracy at the moment?
I mean, what do you think the purpose of this two-day get-together, the exhibition by the government was? I mean, what do you think when they sat down and thought, what do we want to actually get out of this? What do you think their thinking was?
I think they're just trying to reaffirm one side of a debate, but anyone that even just has a slight look out the window, and I mean, the weather, the sea tide, you know, as I said to you a few weeks ago, you can still walk out to the Tower Refuge. I mean, where are we seeing these things? We're told about things which are ethereal. You know, you can't see, smell, or touch CO2. However, when CO2 levels go up, the plants grow faster. You know, even the carbon certificates that Bonzo has mentioned, part of that deal is if you're going to theoretically put out a load of pollution, you have to plant a load of trees. So the trees like CO2 then, by logic, I would have thought. So is CO2 a plant food or is it a pollutant? A lot of people, especially these professors and emeritus and all the rest of it, they're all saying it's a plant food. It's not something bad. So there is a debate to be had, whether or not it's right or not, but there is no debate. That conference, there was no debate. It was a lecture.
So you just wonder then why, because, I mean, first of all, let's just give the government its credit. Let's say it's a good start. At least they've started doing something. But you reckon the Q&As, I'm just paraphrasing, should have been longer and should have allowed more A's.
If you had chaired, it would have been perfect, because at least you would allow somebody to, I mean, none of the people that spoke were allowed to continue the conversation. I mean, conversation, con means with, but it was kind of like you said something and then you just had several minutes of input saying this is why turbines should be deployed, da 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 da. But there was no sort of counterpoint to it to sort of say, you know, what resources are required to make these turbines? Is it actually worse? Are they less efficient? None of that was mentioned. It was just a constant, I mean, it wasn't unexpected, but or, you know, the increase in the population on the island, despite no clear plan to increase resources on the island, whether it be water, power or anything else. I mean, another 15.
Yeah, let's just go back, Julian, let's just go back to the World Climate Declaration you were talking about. Now, this is, they say, signed by 1,200 leading scientists and academics. I think it was June. Did it come out at the beginning of July? I think it was. And what they're saying is there's no climate emergency.
Yes.
So, and obviously, you know, this debate has fervent advocates on both sides. So, but let's go to them.
There's no two-sided debate, though. It's all one-sided.
Yeah, but let's go to them. Let's just go to the middle of it, Julian, and let's just see what it means for the person in the street. The person who, to be quite honest, really doesn't care either way. They just want to get on with their lives. And they're caught in the middle of this pincer movement of people who are screaming there is a climate emergency. And on the other side, we have people who are saying, no, there isn't. And we just wonder how we're going to be living our lives in the future. And also, bear it in mind on the Isle of Man, we've had a year now of a climate change committee, and nothing's happened.
Well, yes, I mean, I totally agree with anyone in the street who says, I just want to live my life. But, you know, our lives have been turned upside down by a lot of things that are going on at the moment. The cost of fuel, for example, and then being told that it's better for us to go to renewables, which, and I use that word with a question mark, because it appears that fossil fuels are more expensive now, although nobody's talking about the fact that lithium has tripled in price. So half the value of an electric car is lithium, primarily made and processed in China. So if the cost of lithium has gone up in the last 4 to 5 months by 3 times, what's the cost of an electric car going to be going down when the prices trickle down to the manufacturers?
In the middle of this, you have the capitalist world, industry and commerce, which really only wants to make a living. I'm not saying they care fervently about climate change, but they'll go with the flow. So you'll have motor manufacturers who will make vehicles come what may, whether they be internal combustion, electric or hydrogen. They just want to make a living. So you just wonder who is driving the debate and where it's going to end up.
But the largest car manufacturer in the world is Toyota. And they're saying the world is not fit for purpose for these vehicles. They're not doing it. The largest car manufacturer in the world.
Well, I wonder whether hydrogen is going to be the way, and that'll come up over the horizon, Julian.
However, hydrogen, the leakiest gas, leaks are a nightmare. The flame speed is 10 times normal gas. And when you pump it by volume, it's 3 times less than normal gas. So you've got to use 3 times the energy to pump it down the same pipe to get the same amount of energy. It's got to be stored at 10,000 PSI. If you have a boiler at home, you've got a potential bomb. I mean, that's 10,000 PSI compared to a car tire at 30. So a plumber with spanners may not really want to go and be playing with high pressure, highly explosive gases. I mean, that's why they're held in specially trained, staffed, special areas for that. That's why it's never been deployed on any kind of scale. I mean, you remember the pictures of the Hindenburg.
Indeed. So we're September 2022, Julian. I'd like you to be the soothsayer for the future. Julian, when do you think the first onshore wind turbine will be erected on the Isle of Man?
I think it depends on us. I think that they intend to do it. However, it's not going to produce anything more than a seventh of what they say it will. It will kill seabirds, which I thought were legally protected. They're going to take up a heck of a lot of resources in terms of concrete, which requires a load of coal, steel, which requires a load of coal, turbine blades that are not renewable. They're going to obliterate the view. I don't see how we can maintain a biosphere. I mean, you know, you can have a load of wind turbines in the UK, but it's a large area. You put 10 400-foot turbines on an island that's 37 miles long, you'd basically be able to see them from almost anywhere. I mean, and it's going to be more than 10 because he said, oh, at least 20 megawatts. So 20, 30, and they require acres around them. You're going to be losing footpaths and cycle lanes and bridle paths. You know, how is that going to work when they're not even producing a seventh of what they say they will? And that's based on Walney Wind Farm's own figures.
Yeah, Julian, did they mention geothermal yesterday or the day before?
No, not a word of it, which is absolutely crazy considering our geology here. And you've got, I mean, Graham and Fred that have been on the radio. I mean, between them, they must have so many decades of experience. If they say it can work, I'll take their word over somebody that's not actually been out in the field and actually looked under the earth and seen what the temperatures are like.
Okay. All right, Julian, we appreciate that. The website for this World Climate Declaration?
It's clintel.org, clintel.org.
Okay. I mean, if you just go to a search engine, put in World Climate Declaration, I think that'll pop up there as well. Julian,
I think it comes up as the first one, I think.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks for your time, Andy.
All right, 20 past 12 on Manx Radio. A note in from, this is Paul in Macclesfield, who said, Andy, 95% of Europe's hydrogen fuel is manufactured from natural gas. Each ton of hydrogen produces 9 tons of CO2. It's a complicated formula, isn't it? Every time you turn one way, there's somebody who says, ah, but what about this? But what about that? And we're faced with this and our green future. Will leaders absolutely where on the Isle of Man? What's going to happen? Supposedly there's £40+ million sitting waiting there. But the Green Living Grant, well, if that's an example of where we're going, it's not exactly swift, is it? Let's just talk about what's happening in Tynwald today. John Moss is looking at the Tynwald preview for this afternoon.
First item on the agenda is from the Treasury Minister, Alex Allenson, asking to remove £26 million from the Reserve Fund into the Consolidated Loans Fund and from thence to advance cash that would enable the government's announced cap on electricity prices until the end of March. The motion also asks to cap bus fares at £2 a journey, mirroring the UK, and asked to go ahead with a third round of targeted support payments for those in receipt of child benefit and on low incomes. Also an acceleration of the £8 million programme for energy efficiency in homes and the establishment of a community support fund. Treasury Minister Mr. Allenson is moving that motion.
When you look at the other alternatives, which are recession, which are people losing their jobs and therefore not paying into the system, I think we have to do something. And when you look around the world, every country has been doing something slightly different. There is no easy fix to the pressures that we are facing as a nation at the moment. Some people are able to weather this. Some people are really finding it difficult now. And we're only in September. We haven't even hit the cold snap of Christmas or the New Year yet. So we need to provide that certainty for people to keep business confidence and consumer confidence so we can keep the local economy going. We are drawing down on reserves for this, and I'm very conscious of that. We're now the third year of rainy days, but we need to do something to actually make people acknowledge that we can get through this together and get around some of the fear that's there. Because one of the issues that government have been addressing and trying to address through the Cabinet Office and our link with the third sector is the real worry that people might deny themselves heat or food over the winter because they're so worried about the bills. Help is there. We've already put £6.3 million into people's pockets through earlier benefits. There are further tranches of that coming out in October and December. We will still be looking at how we can help as many people as possible who might be disproportionately suffering.
That debate will be followed by an urgent question from Joni Farragher on the latest position in the schools as regards industrial action. Then a question paper with four inquiries from Jason Morehouse. The other Tynwald business concerns the installation of Tim Johnson as Manx Utilities chair in place of Rob Callister, who is off to health. But I understand that Mr. Callister will be fielding MU questions in that first debate on economic support.
That sitting gets underway this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and you can follow the coverage, of course, on Manx Radio's AM 1368 channel or through the digital platforms. Just choose the Manx Radio AM service if you're on a smart speaker or on the app, but 1368 for that emergency sitting of Tynwald this afternoon. Note him from Fred, who said, no wonder the MUA's lost 50 million. The amount of managers and overmanagers, all the brand new vehicles seem to be arriving on a weekly basis. I'm fed up. And Alex said, just regarding the teachers, if I were offered London rate pay for teachers, I'd jump at it. Like most people, especially pensioners, we have the Cambodian rate of pay. Let's see a breakdown of hours worked by teachers actually teaching pupils. I think the government should bring in the Korean system for education. 7:30 start in the morning and a 12-hour day. Well, you could try it, Alex. Thanks for that point as well. And Paul just said this climate change stuff wasn't on the agenda or thought when all the world leaders all flew into Britain for the Queen's funeral the other day. Of course, the US president used his own motorcade and all those gas-guzzling Bentleys taking the great and the good from Windsor and what have you. Not much car sharing going on, was there, says Paul. Pause for thought, and Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Oh, hello, yes. Well, here we are again in Groundhog Day, where I'm having to talk about renewables and onshore wind and various other things for this nth time, because of the fact that we have so many other people who are just determined to mask the reality or deny the reality of facts. Yes, this may be a program about allowing the airing of opinions, but some opinions are more valid than others because they are facts. The Earth goes round the sun. Elvis is not living on Mars. 6 million people did not die in the Holocaust. There is a climate emergency. That is incontrovertible. There is evidence for it that stretches to the moon and back if you wanted to print it out and kill some trees. But that is, it is not a question of it. Oh, I have an opinion that it might be. And anyone who then comes up with any scientific justification for it, oh, you need to quote me chapter and verse from the entire climatology section of the university library. It's rubbish. That's the kind of thing which happened, actually. There was a television drama of it where I think it was the actor Toby Jones who played the climate scientist, whom vested interests from the fossil fuel industry did as much as they could to discredit the data from the University of East Anglia climate department there, in order to keep their own fossil fuel interests going, and it took years and years and years for this discrediting to actually be uncovered, and for the actual facts to then be reconfirmed and acted upon. But that took 5 or 6 years, and that was 5 or 6 years that was lost, and that was time that we couldn't lose. Now, that's on the broader point. If we go to the narrower point, such as when are we going to have an onshore wind turbine on the Isle of Man, putting power into the plugs? Well, of course, we should have had one of those, or we should have had an array of those, 20 years ago, at least. But again, various interests made sure that that didn't happen at MEA. And indeed, the first time that these things were discussed in Tynwald was 1994. Over, what was it, 28 years ago. It is ridiculous the amount of time that we have lost on the island because of this almost Trumpian idea of denialism. These are the kind of people who think, who used to go around recommending that you should inject yourself with Clorox or something in order to counter COVID-19, masking up was somehow a denial of people's basic freedoms and liberties. It's rubbish. Absolute nonsense. Now, the environmental case, but there's also the economic case for renewables. Now, the price of renewables is coming down. Doesn't matter about the actions of Ukraine. Doesn't matter about how Russia is essentially holding people to ransom on the gas price. Renewables were coming down before then. They're coming down in price now, and they will continue to come down in price. And that will enable, when such renewables are deployed, for prices of electricity, for example, if we were doing that by putting up onshore here, and there are private consortia who are just waiting for the green light to actually put up these things and cover the capital expenditure cost. If that could be done, then at speed, which it could be done, I think it could be done in, one of the figures quoted is 18 months, but I think it could be done in considerably faster time.
May I just ask you a question, Bonzo? Could you contextualise then for the layperson, when people talk about the climate emergency and the Extinction Rebellion, glue themselves to Rose and what have you, if there is a climate emergency, why is the world order, the global governments, why are they allowing Germany to start burning coal and China to be opening coal-fired power stations? Why has the Isle of Man government done nothing, really, nothing in terms of spending that money for the green agenda and the climate change? If it's an emergency, when does that emergency actually start, and what form of action will indicate that we're starting to remedy the situation?
Right. Well, in terms of the Chinese burning coal, actually, that's a direct result of the climate emergency, because they needed to burn coal paradoxically in order to generate power, in order to power air conditioning, because it has been so burning hot. 40-degree C day after day after day, and then after that parching, then huge flooding, which has affected very large percentages of Chinese agricultural areas. So these ideas that's a sort of specious argument. As for what we're doing, and the kind of influence that we can have, and also that the Climate Change Transformation Board hasn't got moving in allocating expenditures. Well, the rest of Isle of Man government have been pretty inert over the past year, and that's because of the island plan process, which is, I think, fundamentally flawed in the fact that, that there is a huge amount of time considering what to do when things need to be done now. And by the time people have considered what to do and then thought about an implementation plan and start doing it, the situation has entirely changed. So they then have to tear it up and come up with a new plan. Now, if anyone should realise that the first casualty of any first casualty of war is the plan, then Alf Cannon ought to do. He did go to damn Sandhurst, after all.
OK, all right, we appreciate that, Bonzo, and keep your eye on that for us. And if you spot any movement in terms of offshore wind and companies being formed, then please tell us, because it would be nice to know. I mean, the public would like to know when this is going to happen,
The position with offshore wind isn't really about providing us with power. It's about providing us with revenue from the seabed leasing,
right,
to provide power to UK and beyond. Onshore wind will be the thing that provides us with power as part of our renewable energy mix, which will then allow electricity prices to be stabilised and then come down.
OK. All right, Bonzo, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today, and just keep us informed. Thanks for watching that situation. Our proud claim of being a biosphere, says Texter 068, is a joke. We've just had yet another motorsport event. More road closures, more inconvenience for what, really? Won't make a penny when you consider the cost of the police escort. Texter 068. A note now regarding the, let's have a look, a couple of people I think want to talk about the anti-vaxxers. Eric commented on the news about anti-vaxxers in Ramsey, and I think he mentioned polio, this text of 466. If the handout leaflet I've seen is the one he's referring to, there's no mention of polio. So thank you for that. Thank you for pointing that out, 466. And a mention in that just says, recent history suggests we should be concerned about the government buying wind turbines with blades that won't turn, says G.
Manx Gas is changing its name to Isle of Man Energy. Our vision is to be more than a gas company, so we can offer customers choice in their energy management. We're committed to helping during the energy crisis by offering new solutions and services, like our smart home products, so you can use energy more efficiently. And for the future, we're looking at alternatives to natural gas, such as biogas and green hydrogen, to support the Isle of Man's green energy transition. Find out more at isleofmanenergy.im. Energy for every generation.
Are you ready? Then start your engines and drive into the Motormall End of Summer Clearance event. Over £2 million of new ex-demonstrator and quality used cars, vans, motorhomes and motorbikes, all with huge savings and fantastic part exchange valuations. This one-off event is only on until the 25th of September. Don't miss your chance for the deal of a lifetime in the £2 million clearance, only at Motormall. Open 7 days a week.
Do you know a scrap man? Cause I've got scrap to clear. Cars and coal for brass and lead, and I need cash for beer.
What? You don't know a scrap man? Gastains of Vauxhall is the one for you. Gastains will take all scrap metal and is also licensed for dry cell and lead acid batteries. So don't delay, ring 801 337 now.
So now we know a scrap man and all our scrap's been cleared. Ring 801 337, then have cash for beer. Call Cost Dice today and get yourself a beer.
If your washing machine, cooker or fridge has broken down and you need a replacement fast, just call into Pascoe's of Tramode, where you'll find a wide range of electrical goods at great prices. If you see something on display at Pascoe's of Tramode, it's guaranteed to be in stock for you to take away straight away. Or if what you want isn't in store, talk to Pascoe's and we'll do what we can to get it for you. For superb service, excellent prices and great choice, visit the island's premier electrical appliance retailer, Pascoe's of Tramode.
Caroline North is back this weekend live from our historic radio ship, Ross Revenge, with some great music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s. Your chance to win some money to spend in the Caroline web shop. And the whole weekend is sponsored by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe. Join us this weekend live from the Ross Revenge for Radio Caroline North.
On 1368 and 648 AM.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com. The Isle of Man's main net zero progress website.
Pastor May, 23 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Just following up on what Bonzo was talking about, WhatsApp said it's all talk and no action from the Manx government labelling the Green Living Scheme. Really, is it just greenwashing? Just wonder what other listeners think, says that texter. And a note in from Sue just said, your texter proved ignorance about teaching by his comment. Many teachers do 12-hour days. They get to school early to set up for the day. Their so-called breaks, including lunch, are often taken up with preparation, clubs for pupils, playtime supervision, and after-school activities, which are all unpaid. Then they take work home, such as marking, which can't be done in class time. Then anything else has to be done at the weekend. Try spending a week shadowing a teacher, says that texter on 768. It's Sue, and thank you for that. And a message in, which I'll come to in just a few moments. Juwan's with us now. Hi, Juwan.
How are you today, Andy?
Very well, thank you.
I don't know, when's Bonzo doing this T-shirts for his fan club? I need an extra large one. It's I think Julian wants one as well. So he's got a little market there he can play away at. Don't know what to talk about today then. We have to follow up on the conference or the vax thing, which is hot at the moment. So I think I'll head off on that one to start with. I'm going to tie a couple of things together. I hear the Green Goddess Daphne's talking about the corruption in the oil industry. That seems to be the push to get people forward to the green agenda, is the oil company is so corrupt. So I think we'd agree with that probably. Would you say, Andy, that the oil industry is quite corrupt financially and stuff? I think that seems to be a foregone conclusion. I'll agree with her on that. But when we follow the trail down, the money that's made from some of these oil barons got transferred into the pharmaceutical industry. So would that mean that these people, if they corrupted the oil industry, did they corrupt the pharmaceutical industry as well, I wonder? So that kind of leads on to people who have questions to ask about inoculations and vaccinations. And going back to now what Eric mentioned yesterday about Courtney Heading, and a fair play to Howard. I mean, he's on TikTok there and he's following these things up. And I always say to people, follow these things up and listen to both sides of the story before you make your mind up on the propaganda that's put in front of you. And I think Courtney comes from a place where he comes from a place in the heart. He's not making money out of this, where the pharmaceutical industry is making a lot of money out of it. And like I've said before, the pharmaceutical make no money out of dead people and they make no money out of healthy people, but they do make money out of ill people. So I think the question has to be asked, and it's not just Courtney that's asking this question. You've got Rand Paul questioning out to Anthony Fauci in America every day of the week, and you've got Robert Kennedy Jr., who is campaigning on the amount of autism, which is connected to modern day vaccinations. And that's an important part of the conversation, is modern day vaccinations and their part in what's happening. And I think people like Courtney, we're in a dangerous area again, and linking this into what I said the other week about the human rights and your freedom of speech, which again, we're coming very, very close to this person cannot go out there and give his opinion or make his opinion, but the government and the powers that be can scare you and they can tell you you've got to stay inside and you've got to follow footsteps on the footpath because you might infect grandma. So they're allowed to give you that scare and propaganda. But someone is not allowed to go out there and give their free speech, which you have the opinion of looking at or throwing it away.
Yeah, but I mean, Juwan, just remember, the first duty of any government is the well-being of its citizens. I mean, that's any government's prime role before anything is to make sure that make sure the well-being of its citizens. And you know, they obviously see it as they see it, and hitherto vaccinations have worked pretty well. I mean, things like polio, diphtheria, TB. Vaccinations have got rid of an awful lot of killer diseases.
I totally agree with you, and I am coming from a stance of not being an anti-vaxxer, because you're going to get that straight on the text messages. Now, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. All I'm saying is there is enough information out there to ask questions on both sides and make your mind up from a neutral stance. You know, are you talking about being outside Ramsey Grammar School? And what's the age criteria at Ramsey Grammar School, Andy? Remind me, what's the age? Is there 14 to 18 or something like that?
It is, yes, yeah.
14 to 18. What's the age of voting now?
16 on the Isle of Man.
16. My point here is, these are young adults. They're not stupid. I've listened to your programmes from these schools. Kids are not stupid these days. Easily led if they follow propaganda, yes, as older people can be. But they have a right to be able to listen to both sides and throw that information away if it doesn't work for them. These are young voting people. They're 16 years old. So they have the right to be able to turn around and not agree with it. That's the right of freedom of speech and the freedom of information. That's the dangerous path that we're on. And going back to what you said about governments, you're quite correct. Governments should be there for the benefit of the people, because we're talking before about spending money. Well, you know, people need to wake up. It's not government's money that they're spending. It's your money that they're spending. If they decide to send £5 million to the Ukraine, it's your money that they're giving away. So governments, there has to be a check and balance on governments, because they get too much power, they'll keep it. So there has to be checks and balances all the way along. And freedom of speech is so important, and we are losing that. We are losing that.
OK. All right, Juan, thanks for calling.
Cheers, Andy.
Good to talk to you. A note in from Mark, who said, Andy, while we're on the green agenda and while we've just refurbished Laxey Wheel, why aren't we using Laxey Wheel to generate electricity, the biggest working water wheel in the world? Did anybody think to put a dynamo on it? David's with us now. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. They probably didn't, to tell you the truth, probably because it's too complicated, or they don't think for the future. They're not thinking ahead, which brings me to the green issue, really. We haven't got a clear strategy from our government. I was thinking of going down yesterday to the Villa Marina, but the comments that people were putting online and saying the panel were there were just feeding you what they wanted to do, and it wasn't really a question and answer. They weren't thinking of other alternatives there. And I wonder, with regarding to the MEA and the way forward now, it's clearer to me all the time. It's got to be nuclear. Electricity's got to be produced by some sort of energy. And what's going to be freely available, not freely available, out there all the time now, is nuclear. They're building nuclear power plants for the future. And we need to click into what we want on the Isle of Man. We definitely need to be self-sufficient, because otherwise industry won't come here. Because if we're having to rely on a source for energy offshore that could be by link or whatever, there's going to be a risk there. So they won't come here. And we've got to be a bit more flexible, which I don't think we are, with encouraging the industries we want on the island to maybe not employ a lot of people now, but the techie industries that must be flowing out from it. And although I was probably against the cannabis farm issue, was when this company get together and start producing it. And then on the back of that, there's going to be this techie park up near Fort North. You know, that should be something we should be getting into to find out what's going to happen there. And I don't see it happening.
And, I mean, you know how quickly government can work and how slow it can work sometimes. So, I mean, this whole green project, you know, the £42 million, however much they say they've got, nothing seems to be happening, or if it is, it's out of view.
Yeah, like I said to you the other day, Andy, my biggest thing when I inquired about if you were a charity, a sporting organisation, and you want to put some green technology for the future, the first thing is they said you can't apply because you're not a resident. It's for homes only, which is stupid to me. The biggest impact you'd get is from industry itself, who will do the jobs with half the money that a government would give them. And beyond, like I said to you, there's the biggest one array up at the north there, and the one at the company that's near B&Q there, which done the whole car park, running the building, and the surplus then goes out to the network. As far as them, because then they get an interest on it, and then the MEA is just selling it. I don't know why they put the restriction on. If you're in industry or anything else, even a church couldn't apply to have some green initiatives put in to heat bigger buildings.
Okay, all right. Thanks, David.
Bye.
Appreciate it. 13 minutes to one on Manx Radio. A note in just says, putting things into perspective, this is Tony C on 867. I was in Cornwall last week, and a few miles from the hotel is an onshore wind farm easily visible from the main road and an area approximately the size of Nobles Park, housed 7 turbines. So how much space will be needed for a usable size wind farm on the Isle of Man? How big is it going to be?
The Buchan School provides the perfect start to education. With exceptional pastoral care, average class sizes of 14, specialist subject teaching, a varied extracurricular programme, minibus, before and after school, and holiday clubs, all in beautiful surroundings. Come to our open day on Saturday the 8th of October. Take a tour, talk to pupils and staff, and find out more about our happy and lively school. Call 820-110 for details.
Me and the missus have been using Spectrum Windows for as long as I can remember. From the windows in our very first house to our new orangery, we've received the latest tried and tested products. A great service. Locally based Spectrum work island-wide and employ their own installers, so the excellent workmanship's guaranteed. Come to think of it, we've been married as long as we've been using Spectrum Windows. That's 25 glorious years.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 81777.
At IQ Prospect Hill, we believe Mac means business. So if you own your own business or you're responsible for the IT within the business you work for, you already know that improving productivity starts with choosing the right products. Mac, iPhone and iPad are thoughtfully designed and intuitive to use, giving employees an experience that they already know and love. And because Apple products work so well together, employees can be immediately productive. Visit iqiom.com/business to learn all about why Mac means business and how IQ can support you.
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies, and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
So, who lives in a house like this? The stunning living room. These amazing, luxurious bedrooms. Well, thanks to Lifestyle Furniture and Manx Radio, it could be you.
To celebrate the opening of the new store, Lifestyle Furniture in the Mills, there's £500 worth of vouchers to be won this weekend. Check out the clues on the Manx Radio Facebook page to see if you can identify the celeb and be listening for the opportunity to call. Text their name and your name to 166177 and you could be in the draw to win.
It's another winning weekend with Lifestyle Furniture and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com. Helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and the green future.
9 minutes before one, there's a note in from Graham who said, I was listening to Julian's views on energy generation. Right. The Earth's climate is not controlled by CO2 levels, says Graham. These are a lagging indicator, i.e. they're a consequence of changing temperatures, not the cause. Our climate's controlled by the sunspot cycle, which in turn affects the sun's radiation level. And Graham says this has 11 and 40-year cycles, and we're about to enter a low-activity period. Says Graham, our climate will therefore cool over the next 40 or so years. John's with us now. Hello, John.
Oh, first time I won you. Good to hear you back on the air again.
Thank you.
Yes, I was listening with interest to both Julian and Bonzo. I'm afraid I don't. Julian has always comes up with the facts and the figures. He's very good with the facts and the figures, and it is actually the people who who come up with the facts and the figures which are derided. The windmill brigade and whatever, but they reply or they depend on insulting other people without providing anything to back it up. I mean, talk about windmills. Denmark has got a huge number of windmills, and it's got the most expensive electricity in Europe. And Germany's not far behind. And Germany shows what happens when you close down reliable power and you go for this energy transformation, and it's all propped up by cheap Russian gas. And now the Russian gas has gone, the sheer deficiencies of the energy transition are glaring for all to see. It's the same as in California. In Australia, all their energy problems have started because closing down reliable, cheap, or at least economical and reliable power sources, and trying to substitute windmills and solar panels, which cannot, because of their intermittent nature, they cannot possibly supply our modern societies.
So where does this leave us, John?
We have a gas-powered generator, which is reliable and economical. There's been a spike in the cost at the moment, of course, because of the world gas prices. But anything else is going to be more unreliable and more expensive, regardless of what the salesmen tell you about windmills. So I think it would be best to continue with that. But we have still got the diesel generators for emergency backup, and we've got the cable to the UK as another backup. But I wouldn't rely on. It's like Germany. It's and any other country, which is not self-sufficient, or at least tries to be self-sufficient in energy, and that's what keeps our economy going.
John, when do you think the first onshore wind turbine will be on the Isle of Man?
I hope never. Never, never, never. And if anybody starts to try and do that, I should be there. I should lay in front of the bulldozers and the such, because they are a complete con. They never can and never will provide the power required for modern society. And as for the oil companies supply everything we need for our modern lifestyle. There's 6,000 products that come from gas and oil, which are absolutely essential for even for our daily lives. Fertilizers, pharmaceuticals, plastics, everything comes from everything. Maybe it's a mistake to have be so dependent on such a source, but 6,000 products that we use every day are dependent on the oil industry. They provide us with the products we need for our modern lifestyle.
Okay.
And without those products, we're back in the Stone Age.
All right, John, thanks for calling today. We appreciate that. We had other calls that we didn't have time to get to, but by all means, call again tomorrow. This week's meeting must be to get an apparent rubber stamp for government plans, says Christine. There's no wide information base provided, no debate. It should have entailed a to and fro of information and ideas from the public and the government. This is the government's exhibition that's been on in the two previous days. sadly, I couldn't go. Because like most other people, I had other things to do. But anyway, they tried, which is the important thing. That's it. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing on Man in Line today. Back tomorrow with another open line. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
WINT.